This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. And you're listening to the DCAU Review, hosted by Cal and Liam, streaming at DCAUReview.com and on your favorite podcast app.
Get charged up for action that'll shock your system.
Tell me that's not cool.
An unstoppable superhero and his crew embark on impossible missions and will bring mutated villains to justice.
When static's in the house, bad guys better step off.
Pull the plug on crime with the adventures of Static Shock. Yeah!
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 275 of the DCAU Review. I am one of your hosts, Cal. With me, my good friend, good brother, the man that runs our social media accounts. It's Liam. Liam, we are wrapping up our months-long salute to Mr. Len Yulee, as we have tackled three thus far, and today will be the fourth episode written by Mr. Yulee, all leading up to a very exciting bonus episode that we will drop very shortly here. Update with that forthcoming here as we talk about it. But welcome to episode 275 of the DCAU Review.
That's right. And not only is it wrapping up our month of Len Yulee pen static episodes, but it also wraps up our little shebang trilogy as we are tackling the aptly titled She Back. But she's not the only Len Yulee created or co-created character, Mr. Yulee, and which folks will hear once we do drop that full interview. Very much gave Alan Burnett a lot of the credit for sort of the inception of the character, but obviously Len ended up writing or having doing the teleplay in the first, and then writing her two follow appearances. So I think Len gets a little credit for shaping her personality here, and couldn't think of a better way to do that with not only the return of Shebang, but the return of a villain that we kicked off the month talking about, that being the villainous Madeline Spalding, the former mind-controlling supervillain in the episode She Back.
She Back! That is right, Liam. Very excited to get into that this week. And as I mentioned, so if you listened to last week's episode, we were very distraught. Well, I was very distraught. You were not as distraught because you were holding your emotions in, but we reported some unfortunate news that we had potentially lost access to our full interview with Mr. Yulee. But you know what? To borrow the colloquialism, I have some good news, and that is, in case you couldn't figure it out, we were able to recover the full interview with Mr. Yulee, so that will indeed be forthcoming, looking to probably drop it over the Labor Day holiday. It's actually pretty timely based on what Labor Day here in the United States celebrates and a lot of the discussion that we talked about with Mr. Yulee directly. So pretty much at this point, we are scheduled to drop that over the Labor Day weekend here in the U.S., mm-hmm. which is the first Monday in September, if you're listening outside the U.S. and not familiar with the Labor Day holiday. But yes, we will this week be talking, as you mentioned, about She Back, which originally debuted here in the States on January the 24th on the Kids WB, January the 24th, 2004, meaning we passed the 19-year mark just about 6 months ago, and coming up on the 20-year anniversary here in about 6 months or less, 4 months, I guess, at this point. But yes, before we get into that, our breaking down our review of this, we will, of course, get the official IMDb synopsis for this week's episode, which is brought to you by, as it always is, by the Pod Tower. If you're interested in listening to a collection of hilarious, entertaining, and fun podcasts, boy, do I have a recommendation for you. Head over to youtube.com/thepodtower today and subscribe, and you will get a trio of podcast fare for your audio enjoyment from the good folks at Watchtower Database. We have, and confirmation this week remaining, the title Jump on the Batwagon, despite the fact they've moved on for Batman. It's keeping its original title, Jump on the Batwagon, and they are currently in the middle of just kickstarted their reviews of Superman the Animated Series. So if you're a Superman fan, you want to check that out, head on over to that channel. You also get the entire catalog of Tim Talk and our entire catalog as well, all in one convenient spot. We invite you to head over today and subscribe to youtube.com/thepodtower.
That's right. So this is the synopsis for She-Back. There's an exclamation point. Written by Len Yulee, directed by Mark Howard, with music by Max Gauss or Goose. Apologies if I'm butchering that. And animation by Coco and Dong Yang. And that synopsis reads as such. Shebang comes back to town and teams up with Static and Gear.
Oh, come on.
That was so lame, I couldn't even do the voice.
Nope, you didn't even try. You could have figured that out. It's literally the title of the episode, She Back. Come on. That's F minus.
Yeah, that's less than you would get in a TV guide about this episode.
That's right.
But yeah, we can jump into our more detailed plot synopsis here as we kick things off with a little bit of very funny foreshadowing as Virgil and Richie are walking to their local comic store, something that I hope all our listeners do, support your local businesses. But Virgil and Richie are out the comic store, and they happen to mention, as an aside, in a very humorous back and forth, that a character in their favorite comic book, not Plant Man, it's not the Return of Plant Man, sadly, one of their other favorite characters, has apparently his whole power set changed between issues. And Richie gives some sort of a sci-fi, silly, comic booky explanation as to why. And they both remark how kind of strange it is when a returning character suddenly has a whole new power set. And who should they then bump into but the returning, as mentioned, Madeline Spaulding, the woman who enslaved all of Dakota in an attempt to elect herself class president earlier, as we talked about earlier this month. Check it out in the archives if you hadn't heard it. But she lets Virgil and Richie know a few things, one being that while she has sort of paid her debt to society, she has not yet been allowed to return to school, for understandable reasons, I would say. So she's working at this comic store, just killing time, and still seems to have a bit of a chip on her shoulder.
Well, everybody had been so mean to me, and then I got those amazing powers. What did you expect?
Do you still have your powers?
Who knows? If I do, I can't remember how I made them work.
Is there anything you do remember?
Yeah, I remember Static. He's the one who spoiled everything. I owe him big time.
Okay. But what about me?
What about you?
Never mind. Come on, Rich. Got a jet. She doesn't remember your Static. Oh, how lucky is that?
Just like before, kids laughing at me. I hate them all. And I'd do something about it, too, if I had my old powers back.
Though it is made clear that after her little event with Static, where her brain was sort of fried by Static's power, that she no longer remembers that he and Virgil are one and the same. So they, Virgil and Richie, leave pretty overjoyed that she doesn't remember his secret identity. And as they go off, Madeline Spaulding, as fate would have it, that little episode with Static rewriting her powers, not only has it canceled out her old mind control powers, but it's given her all different psychic powers, those being in the form of telekinesis. And what else do you do once you get those powers? But it's time for a jailbreak.
yep, you're going to create a league of your own. You know, if you have some superhero adversaries who have their own team, well, you create your own team up situation. But you know what? It never seems to work out when villains team up quite as well as when heroes do, does it?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, Madeline decides she heads to the Dakota Police Department. I assume perhaps the prison. It's kind of a cool little setup they have there. She decides the jailbreak will include familiar foes of Static, including Hot Streak, Ebon, and Talon. And she decides to gather them all up and declares that she's going to lead them to a new renaissance of being able to take down Static, despite the fact that Ebon and Talon seem to somewhat doubt whether or not she has the ability to do so. She shows off her new telekinetic powers and at a junkyard. Where else? Villains love junkyards, you know? It's a good place to go. Nobody's ever there. You can destroy stuff without hurting anybody. You just go to a junkyard if you're evil. It's tale as old as time. But so after giving them the rah-rah speech about how they're going to take them down, we also get a cut back to Static and Gear, who are coming to sort of terms with the idea that that Madeline is dealing with these or could be returning at some point. But
well, we see a mysterious woman in the shadows.
That's right.
Following Static and Gear to the prison break.
That's right.
And then she sort of makes her presence known right as the kind of in the middle of the fight.
That is right. So I missed that part there, but during the jailbreak, of course, Static and Gear get the notification. They show up. There's a brief scuffle, but the villains manage to escape and head to the aforementioned junkyard. In the middle of the fight, though, revealing herself, returning, trying not to say back every time, returning to Dakota is in fact Shebang, and she's Static is surprised again. If you recall last week, we left off Static saying that she was welcome anytime, but he did request that she announce her presence before she just shows up randomly. But she must have forgotten that. But she does assist them in helping save the day. And there is a conversation immediately afterwards between Static Gear and Shebang about just what she's doing back in the city. And she mentions that off screen sometime, the whole issue with the people that were out to hunt her down and try and reclaim her DNA were taken care of. They're no longer being hunted. She and her parents are no longer in witness protection, so they're mm-hmm. back in Dakota, and she can go to school. And she mentions one of the things that we talked about that was so vital to that character's appearance in her very initial episode, which was that she no longer has to act like two different people between her Shebang and her alter ego of Shanice. So she can kind of be not the shy girl anymore. She can be outgoing. She can give her thoughts and opinions and not be afraid to draw attention, since these people that were after her are no longer a threat to her or her family. So we see right away that Shanice really has a very outgoing personality and seems to really turn off a lot of the people around her at school, including Static and Richie, who immediately begin sort of noticing how pushy and annoying she is. Richie mentions that she had insisted on changing curtains at the gas station and was so talkative that she followed Richie into the men's room and recommended that they do changes in the men's room as well. This is all going on while homecoming preparations are beginning at Dakota High. And she also has a lot of thoughts and opinions about what the theme should be for homecoming and how the decorations should look.
Bad enough Shebang keeps butting in when we're on patrol, but Shanice won't let us alone either. You're telling me. She was so busy describing the new curtains for the gas station, she followed me right into the boys' restroom. She thought that could use new curtains, too.
Hey, guys! We're trying to decide on a theme for this year's dance. What do you think?
It's homecoming, Shanice, not Mardi Gras.
Well, it could be. Hey, is that high enough?
Yes!
I see where Shanice's circle of influence is widening. What is it? I'm picking up a police bullet. Metahumans at City Hall. We gotta get down there.
Down where?
Down to the nurse's office.
Yes, we, ate in the cafeteria.
Now we know why they call it tuna surprise.
Again, this begins to somewhat annoy some of the other members of the who are responsible for the decorations, Frida in particular. So we kind of get the feeling here that Static and Gear are going to do everything they can to try and avoid her, as is the rest of the school. So Static gets an alert that there is an immediate threat downtown, that the Bang Babies United are downtown and causing trouble. So he and Richie make up an excuse as to why they have to get away. It's always about something that they've eaten. It's always stomach issues, it seems. They always have stomach issues. They're going to vomit. They're going to be sick. So they both excuse themselves, saying that they had eaten the tuna surprise and it was not sitting well with either of them. This, of course, is an excuse to sneak downtown to encounter the Metabreed without Shebang's assistance. And well, they head downtown and they begin to see all the destruction that's happening in and around, as Madeline is leading the group, as we've talked about before. And she seems to be doing her best to try and establish herself as that leader verbally and to everyone in and around her. They don't seem to quite have the belief. They especially being Ebon, who I don't think takes too kindly to the idea that he's going to be subservient to anyone, especially a young girl that's in high school.
Why'd you butt in like that? I had Talon just where I wanted her.
You weren't even ruffling her feathers.
That's just plain nuts.
No, leaving me back at school, that's nuts. We're supposed to be a team.
Nice try, prom queen. Now, are you ready to let me run this circus?
Quiet! I need time to think.
This does become kind of the central conflict, other than Richie and Virgil kind of being fed up with Shanice. It's two sides of the same coin, right? It's the girl returns to town and wants to just kind of force her way in and make things a certain way, and the old crew isn't really feeling it. Like, she's coming on a little bit strong, so it's kind of fun seeing that the two sides of that same coin. But yes, as the Metabreed attack City Hall, Static and Gear arrive and are sort of going back and forth with Hot Streak and Talon, mostly, as Ebon's decided he's going to kind of sit back and watch. And then as Madeline begins to get involved, Shebang does arrive on the scene and shoves Static out of the way from a Hot Streak blast. And as she and Static begin to argue about everything and how they don't feel like they're on the same page, that kind of creates again another argument between Madeline and Ebon as well. But finally, in order to cover the bad guy's escape, Madeline crumbles the foundation of this large statue of what appeared to be Fidel Castro. And I don't think it was Fidel Castro. He just had that hat.
He had the Fidel hat. He was waving an American flag. I don't remember too many images of old Fidel waving an American flag that I'm aware of.
All right. Well, we'll have to agree or disagree. As the statue begins to crumble, Virgil races into action, and he isn't able to catch the statue, but he's able to hold it up long enough for Gear and Shebang to get all of the civilians and reporters out of the way, before the statue kind of crumbles, and they're all sort of left with this mess. And it's clear that Virgil and Richie are kind of just fed up with Shanice trying to intervene and trying to force her way onto the team and sort of tell her to buzz off. And at the same time, we then cut back to Shanice at home, and we find out that the homecoming committee has also kind of given her the cold shoulder. And so Shanice is kind of feeling very alone as she talks to her mom, and her mom tells her to just give it time and that things will work out and that everyone will come around. But Shanice decides instead to kind of strike out back on her own, and she's going to try to take down Madeline and the rest of the crew on her own as Shebang. But wouldn't you know it, she basically walks right outside and immediately gets captured. I mean some time probably passed because there's like a scene transition, but it's literally like 30 seconds. She is captured, and Madeline decides she's going to use Shebang as bait. And that's kind of as we see the culmination of her and Ebon butting heads as Shebang alerts them that she isn't really working with Static and Gear anymore. And that that kind of throws Ebon into a rage, and he and Madeline begin to fight and bicker between themselves. And at the same time, Static and Gear have gotten a call from Shanice's mom, and they're out on the hunt. And thankfully, the battle between Madeline and Ebon, well, it's not exactly subtle. It draws a lot of attention. So Static and Gear are on the case as we approach our big finale here.
Yep. No honor amongst thieves, as Shanice kind of recognizes and begins to pick apart their vulnerabilities. She notices that Hot Streak is kind of maybe the most easiest to kind of manipulate or get information out of. And he mentions that Ebon and Madeline do not get along very well, and they're both kind of jostling for who is the leader of the bad guys. Shanice just exploits that very quickly.
Hey, stop! We'll get nowhere like this.
We're nowhere already.
Listen, team, this will work. It's just a matter of where to place the bait.
What's their problem?
They both think they're in charge. This is them being nice to each other.
No use. Those things are made out of the strongest steel around.
No stronger than the leash you're on.
I'd watch that mouth.
Save it, okay? Back when you led the Metabreed, I might have been afraid. But now you're just some sidekick who got shoved aside. You're a joke to every bang baby in Dakota, and an even bigger joke to me. Hey, stop talking to her.
School's out, schoolgirl. I'm running this show from now on.
Why does there always have to be a class clown?
You're going down, girl.
Ebon walks up, and as she's restrained there, she mentions that she's not scared of Ebon because he's not the leader of the Metabreed as he once was. And that's all she really needs to say to set Ebon off and decide that he's going to take over, and that Madeline needs to take the back seat. Madeline is not having any of it. And wouldn't you know, it's to bang baby off at that point, as we have two of our villains going at it. Madeline with her telekinesis, and of course Ebon with his portal powers. He creates this portal that begins dragging her, and it kind of creates I guess sort of like a black hole function. We see sort of a strong pull coming out of it, and this creates a large enough vortex of a tornado like pull that it gets Static and Gear's attention pretty easily as they're out trying to find Shanice. That once they get there, it's they free Shebang from her restraints, and then it's off to the races as to who's going to take on who. As the weather is also beginning to change, we see a storm that's rolling in. It looks like a thunderstorm of some kind. So we get Hot Streak breaking off to fight Gear. We have Talon taking Shebang, and then we have Ebon who is handled pretty quickly and easily. There's not a lot that happens with Ebon, as really the finale is Static versus Madeline at that point. So the ultimate battle comes between Static and Madeline at the end. It appears that Madeline has the upper hand as she exclaims that her new powers have given her all the power that she needs to win this time. And I don't know, I assume we mentioned it before, but Static's powers being the thing ultimately that changed her powers, her set of powers, to give her this new set, very similar, as we mentioned, to the Particle Man comic book from the very beginning of the episode. She begins to sort of fly up and exclaim that this is all the power that she needs, and she's ready to take over again. And she is sort of being able to repel all of Static's firepower. Every time he launches something at her or shoots electricity at her, she bounces it right back to him. So he kind of, after taking one on the chin and realizing that he kind of has to change his way of doing things, he uses his powers to charge and create an electric conductor that causes a lightning bolt to come down or attracts the lightning bolt that's coming down from the storm, shoots right through Shanice, or through, I keep changing their names, shoots right through Madeline, and ultimately it overtakes her at that point, and that gives Static the victory in the end. So we do get a little bit of a postscript as our heroes are celebrating their win, but Shanice says that she's hanging it up. She has to go out on her own. She realizes, because Static and Gear no longer want her around, but Static, as he's wont to do, and sort of duplicating and replicating his change of heart that we saw at the end of last week's episode, he says she's welcome to the team, and she's a full-time member at this point, and she better not go anywhere.
I guess I owe you an apology.
Well, I mean, it's okay.
So I've decided that from now on, I won't horn in on your patrols or bug you at school or anything.
Sorry, we can't accept that.
Although I did like the part about not bugging us at school.
Anytime you want to be on the team, you're welcome.
But you said...
We said some stuff we regret.
You guys are the absolute...
Ribs! Crushing the ribs!
Sorry. Sometimes I don't know my own strength.
Well, we'll be happy to remind you.
Hang on. I'm picking up a police radio call. There's a riot at the Bogus Truth concert.
They must have played something in tune. That could get ugly.
Should we go together?
Wouldn't have it any other way.
We get a report of another happening around the city that's going to require our heroes, and we get the adventures continue sort of shot as all three of our heroes bound away, that's the end of our episode, as all things are well and good in Dakota after all, as mm-hmm. all of our villains are thwarted and taken away, and our heroes are friends again and looking to fight some more crime.
That's right. So I guess we can get towards our plot scores here, but I really enjoyed this episode. It's different because the first two, you know, the first one had this like strange, like CIA espionage turn to the episode. Mm-hmm. And then last week you had like the mad scientist stuff with the heavy man. And then this week it is more of a, even, you know, we have the returning villain along with, you know, some of our regular villains that we see more than any other characters on Static. So it could feel like this could just be another episode, mm-hmm. you know, this could just be it. But I think especially it builds off of the first episode that we saw, where Shanice is kind of forcing herself to be very sort of quiet and mousy and agreeable because she's not supposed to draw any attention to herself.
Right.
Even though we see as soon as she puts on the shebang outfit that, you know, she wants to do anything but that.
Right.
So building off of that in this one, where, okay, now all of the, you know, all of the crazy stuff is over. she feels like, okay, I can finally be me, but that version of herself is so different than the one people had met previously that it does kind of give everyone whiplash. And she's kind of, you know, it feels like, you know, I feel like it's very relatable to be like, okay, I'm at a new job, I'm in a new school, whatever it is. I gotta force it. Like I gotta be myself to the nth degree, and I gotta join this and be part of this and just kind of force my way into the social circle and kind of make up for the lost time that I have coming to this new place or whatever. So I kind of like that it took, you know, some of those, again, very relatable, simple high school drama things, but they sort of played with it in a superhero way and played off of what we already knew the character to be, which was she was this kind of showboating, you know, excitable character who had this brilliant mind and had all of these thoughts and opinions and ideas, but had to kind of keep it all under wraps. And now she's just almost like she's just vomiting her excitement and creativity over the poor students at Dakota. Like, she's not doing anything wrong, but you also, it's understandable as to why the other kids at the school feel like she's coming on a bit strong and why Static and Gear feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be, I mean, I think in this moment, there's a bit of naivete about her because she kind of had to grow up so quickly. She had to pretend like she was somebody else. She's been on the run from all these other people. So not having experienced what it's like for, you know, social cues and like some of the other things that, you know, maybe she hasn't been able to really experience or notice. And she's very excited. Like, she has an excitability about her that she gets to finally be who she is, as opposed to wearing this mask all of the time. She just, you know, it's hard for her to contain it. It's hard to put those bumpers on to kind of keep her on track there is all, I think. So yeah, it's understandable, I think, for this character where it's been. It makes sense based on, you know, the arc that she was on, that this rapid change isn't immediately accepted by everyone else. And I think, you know, I think that some kids can probably relate to that based on certain changes they've been in, or, you know, if all of a sudden there's a super large change in how you act and you're just, you know, expecting everyone around you to immediately adapt to it. It might take some time for people to adapt to this new version of you, or this new, you know, unbridled, version of who you are. So I do think that makes sense. I do think that the way that story was kind of played in both her secret identity as Shanice and then as Shebang also, how they mirrored each other. I like that. I also like the idea that you have, you have the acceptance portion of it, the two sides of the coin, as you mentioned, like between our hero and our villain, between Madeline and Shanice, and how they're handled in two different ways, and how ultimately, while, you know, there were heads that butted on the hero side, ultimately, because they're heroes, everything works out in the end, and they're accepting of each other, and you know, they're forgiving of each other, and they're deciding to try and work together. Whereas on the villain side, the hubris gets in the way, they end up fighting, and it's ultimately their downfall for why they can't defeat Static. So a good lesson learned there and taught. I will say I do like that. If we're looking at all four of these episodes, really, that we've looked at this month, they all have very different feels, very different, you know, ways of telling stories. This one, you know, a big super villain team up episode, and how is Static and Gear and Shebang going to work together in order to be able to defeat this giant conglomeration of super villains? Those are always fun. You know, it's a classic comic book feel. So it's more, I would say, down to earth and more true to the superhero genre to have this kind of story told than maybe the ones that we talked about over the last couple of weeks. So in a way, I think that that works because it is different than the way those other stories went. So yeah, it's an enjoyable episode. I think overall, telling a very different story and looking at it and but still sort of ending on the same note as we did the last week makes it feel good. I enjoyed it. So overall, 7 out of 10 for my score.
Yeah, I went just 1 point higher. I went 8 out of 10. I think, yeah, I really enjoyed this as a finale to our little theme month here. And like you said, just being a completely its own animal while also playing off, like you said, just the dual-sided nature of the story with Madeline kind of barging her way in and refusing to hear otherwise about that she was going to lead this team of metahumans to greatness. And then on the other hand, you know, Shebang and Static and Gear kind of butting heads in the same way, but ultimately remembering that they're all in the same team and that they'll be better together. It's simple stuff. It's simple stuff. The good guys learn how to use teamwork and the bad guys don't. It's good. It's simple. I like that part of it. And then, like we already said, the sort of the deeper side of Shanice's kind of just struggling to just share her true self with her classmates and her friends. It's relatable and it's simple.
Yeah, and I will say was left feeling a little sad that we don't get another Shanice episode out of this. That she back, but she gone after this.
Yeah, we don't see her again. So I'm not sure. That might be something we need to ask Glenn in a second interview down the line. If there was, I know at least some basic ideas, I believe, for a fifth season that never happened. So I do wonder if there was ever a thought of adding her to the show full time, or even just seeing her more regularly, having more of a rotating, you know, guest cast with her and Rubber Band Man and Anansi, you know, sort of like the new Batman Adventures season with our rotating heroes there. They definitely built themselves their own little Dakota Justice League here. It would have been fun to see them all team up together. So that would definitely be something I would have liked to have seen as well.
Agreed. All right, Liam, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be animation and visuals. And I believe Coco Dongyang were once again credited with the animation for this week's episode. Mm-hmm. So we talked about it at the top. So we get Madeline returning, but we get a whole new getup for her and a sort of patchwork quilt look, which is something certainly that we can talk about. But we also get, some of Static's other main baddies, as we talked about, the Metabreed showing back up. And then I think there's probably a lot to talk about in as far as our third act is concerned. I will say, I think at times, and I don't know, this is our first episode, I believe, that we mentioned last week that we're delving into as far as the fourth season is concerned. Mm-hmm. But everybody looked a little bit skinny and kind of slightly off model in a lot of scenes to me. I think some of the expressions that the characters made in their faces just didn't look like the characters that we're used to seeing, or that I'm used to seeing at least. So I'm not sure if this was a different storyboard artist, or if, you know, whatever part of the team was working on this maybe it was a different crew for season 4, or maybe for this episode. It's hard to compare these to whatever else was going on in season 4, as we'll talk about in our next category too. But you know, it did seem like things were slightly different or slightly off model from what we'd seen in season 3. So hard to say whether or not it's off model or if there was another shift in season 4. I will say that I did notice that there are certain scenes where people seemed very stiff. Also, there was like some lack of movement, especially in the scenes, the one scene that involves Shebang and Gear and Static all kind of talking. There's a shot that's kind of all of them from torso up, and it's they're all kind of right, left, and center across mm-hmm. the screen. They just don't really move very much. It's kind of just the mouths, and they just seem very stiff when they do shift. And So that was a little bit disappointing. I don't know if a lot of the animation budget was taken up by maybe Madeline's new powers and her telekinesis or what. But I've talked a lot about specifically what I didn't like. If there's anything you didn't care for, anything you noticed, feel free to share. But also we can talk about things we did like.
Yeah, I think my negative notes were definitely what you said, which is that everybody from Virgil and Richie to Hot Streak, I thought, especially, and Ebon too. Yeah, they're just like a little bit, their heads are like, they're like square and skinny, like in kind of a strange way that didn't quite match the season three. So yeah, I guess we'll find out as we get more into season four if that was a result of this particular duo. I mean, I feel like we've seen Coco and Dong, maybe not on this newer art style, so maybe that's part of it, or if this particular their particular storyboard artists or directors worked on this episode that didn't. But to your point on some of the more positive things, I would say I did really enjoy the visualization of it's not there's not really like any visualization, but it almost feels more like she's wind powered than telekinesis. Like there's always, like you always see like little bits of debris and kind of the wind effects when she's using her telekinesis. I really enjoy that final bit where she and Ebon are facing down in the junkyard. The junkyard's kind of a fun, like final battle for this, because there's just tons of debris and cars and different sharp pieces of metal that you can play with. And I think that's a really fun, like from a background standpoint. And then maybe the visual highlight, and maybe this is just stuck in my brain because in the last season of Static Shock, they started in the main show open, they start incorporating a couple clips from episodes along with the original animation that was produced. And one of them is this clip of Static holding up the statue.
Mm.
He creates like an electric net. And I don't know if that's why it's so stuck into my brain,
mm-hmm.
but I thought that shot where the statue is tipping over and then, Static catches it in his little electro net. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just great. I thought that was probably one of the coolest visual things we've seen Static do with his powers, maybe ever for this series.
Yeah, that final, honestly, that sequence, and then ultimately the final fight sequence between Madeline and Static, the shot that where he ultimately defeats her, where he's kind of laying on the ground and you see him charge some of the metal that leads up to this other giant pile of metal, which ends up being the conductor for the lightning, turning it into a literal lightning rod. You follow the electricity all the way up, you see the charge go up, and then the shot of the lightning coming down and going through Madeline to hit this makeshift lightning rod I loved it. Like it's something you could probably watch, and it kind of does move, not quite in slow motion, but it's done so that you can kind of follow the electricity up, and then it kind of reaches the top, and then the lightning comes down to meet it. And it's just a wonderful quick little sequence, but it the visual, the shot of the lightning going through Madeline as she gets struck by lightning, really, really, I thought it was really, really well done. I thought whoever storyboarded that gets two thumbs up for me, because it was ultimately animated really, really well. I will say that those fight sequences, I did like the visualization of how Ebon has the portal that ultimately is kind of like a drain. Mm-hmm. He uses it like a drain. He sticks the portal in the ground and he's trying to suck Madeline into the drain. And as I mentioned before, as we were doing the recap, the tornado kind of comes out of it, showing you the vortex that's trying to draw her into this portal. You get all these different power sets, of course. You get you get fire, you get Talon flying by and feathers coming out, and then you get Ebon's portals, and so you get all the best of all of these different worlds, not to mention a character changing Madeline's power set to be more classically villain with the telekinesis. Just kind of leads to some fun to be had. throughout the episode. I will say we first time looking at Gear's new upgraded gear, correct? Pun intended.
New York, yeah, New York Jets colors, yeah.
Right, we get the white and green. I like the white and green better than the blue and green, to be honest. I think it just looks better. It just pops a little bit.
Yeah, I think it fits better, like the sharp blue with the like almost equally bright green. I feel like it's like a little overkill on your eyes. Yeah, I think this is definitely sleeker.
Yeah, and we also get some flashback. I think we didn't mention it at the top, but we get the kind of the recap of just who Madeline is, in case you hadn't seen the her previous appearance. We get flashbacks that include an updated version of some of the graphics, but it's pretty faithful to the original. I think her clothes are different, the character model is clearly different, but they even used flashback Static's season one and season two look with a white shirt, so faithful to that. Yeah, I think overall I think that the visuals were lacking in some areas as far as being dynamic and the characters looking just a little stiff and just kind of the way that they were standing around looking a little too skinny or off model for what we're used to in season three. But there's still some things to applaud and enjoy, and some really, really fun sequences to really appreciate. So not the best outing for this group, but enough to give an above average 6 out of 10 for me. What about you?
Yeah, I once again just went 1 point higher at 7 out of 10. I think the effects of Madeline's powers and the fight with Ebon at the end are really propping it up. Like I said, I do agree that everybody being off model in the non-action sequences is a little bit distracting. And if we didn't give it enough shine, then the redesign of, you know, Madeline's weird, like, stitched together rainbow Raggedy Ann super suit is really neat. And they gave her these like very like pronounced sort of dark circles around her eyes and these very small, you know, black pupils. So the sort of deranged nature of her character really shines through.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, yeah, I think that's a really strong character design as well. Another character that I would have liked to have seen used more if we had gotten more Static episodes, but alas, we will have to leave it at this one.
All right, man, let's move on to our next category, which is going to be music. And forgive me, Richard, who's responsible for the music this week? Is Richard Wolf credited again?
No, it's actually, don't believe, a gentleman we've talked about before, but Max Gauss or Goose.
Oh, that's right.
As our musician this week. Yeah, outside of our, you know, our Little Romeo theme, which we get in the season 3 and 4, I did notice there's sort of an instrumental version of Shebang's theme, the So Fly song that we've so enjoyed over the last couple of weeks, right when she first appears, and she's kind of all cased in silhouette, which, if we didn't mention that, that's actually a pretty neat way to introduce her to the episode. But yeah, that musical sting I noticed, and then otherwise I feel like it's about what you would expect for a Static episode, as far as at least the action beats and, you know, kind of the drum machine and some of the synthesizer stuff. But notably, we didn't really have any lyrics in our Static music this week. Mm-hmm. So I found that I feel like that's another thing that makes the Static music stick out, as we've talked about. So without it, I kind of just, other than the little bit of the Shebang theme coming in, a little bit of the Static theme coming in the action beats, I didn't really have much for music. So I ended up giving it just a middle of the road 5 out of 10.
Yeah. Mark this day down on your calendar, because I'm actually going to agree with you and say the lack of lyrics, I think, was a detriment here, especially when you're talking about that Shebang theme that we talked about over the last couple of weeks. It was more difficult for me to pick out that theme. We talked about it last week, the I'm So Fly, and then the latter part where it's like, you go girl and all that. Like, that part was the part that stuck out to me, is like, okay, this is the theme. This is the character returning. We established this in the first episode. This is who she is. This is the same character, same identity. This is her. Like, and you don't really get that brand recognition for this this particular episode here, and it kind of stuck out. So I think consistency across the music, obviously you have somebody else that's doing the music. I do like that they kind of stuck to the, at least to the theme, the instrumental version. But you and I talked about this before we went on the air, but I'm curious now if season four, with the change of composers, or I don't know how many episodes Mr. Wolf did versus this composer, but if they decided to go away from the use of lyrics in the soundtrack, or if this is just a one-off. But definitely curious as we, down the road, as we get into more of season four, if this is going to be a recurring thing, because that might take some getting used to. So I ended up giving it the same score, 5 out of 10, for that very same reason. It's just, there's nothing bad. There's nothing that I think that hurts it, but or that is detrimental to it in a large way, but it does seem like it's hurt a little bit by the fact that you're missing this piece that was established as sort of who this character is. So some people like rock and roll, some people like country, some people like their soundtracks with lyrics, and some people do not. So you know which one I am, but the consistency is more important to me, I guess, we've discovered this week. All right, Liam, let's wrap things up with our final category of the day, which is going to be our voice acting. We got a superstar cast here, as we have a bunch of different villains, of course, showing up. That's always fun to talk about. We get some returning voice actresses from our various episodes across, and then some series regulars, of course, to laud. Let's talk about this week's voice acting.
Yeah, a lot of familiar names. We have Danica McKellar as Frida once again. We have Tia Tejada as Talon. We have Danny Cooksey as Hot Streak. And of course, Jason Marsden as Gear. Though I would say our main eventers for this week are, of course, the returning Kimberly Brooks as Madeline Spaulding. She's once again just a hoot, I think, in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And her playing off of the great Gary Anthony Sturgis as Yvonne. I just love that this episode comes down to like this teenage like honor student who did the superhero equivalent of like overdosing on Ritalin and getting expelled Adderall and getting expelled, like, and she's now stepping to like this hardened gangster. Cause like Yvonne, we know, like, we can kind of ascertain that way before he had superpowers, Yvonne was a bad dude. Like, mm-hmm. and here she is just like, just completely unfazed, completely, you can call it, you can say that she's crazy, or that she's just too sure of herself, whatever it is. She is delusional is the word I was trying to think of. She's delusional, or she's crazy, or whatever it is. But her, Miss Brooks as Madeline Spaulding, and Mr. Sturgis as Yvonne, going back and forth this episode, just an out and out hoot, I thought.
Yeah, that pairing, anytime you get, I mean, we've talked about it in the other DCAU shows, when you get the Joker interacting with Lex Luthor, or, you know, later on you get the Joker interacting with the various different members of the Injustice Gang, you know, whoever it is, anytime you get these weird sort of pairings of different villains and these voices that are iconic and dynamic and they're easily memorable, and then you kind of mush them together and you get these weird interactions that you wouldn't expect to necessarily stand out or go well, it it's always fun because I think when you get down to it, Andrea Romano knew who to cast in these roles so that and how to bring out these incredible performances out of people that were immensely talented to begin with. And then you put them all in a room and you're like, all right, well, this is how we're going to interact with this person. And this is how it's going to sound. And it just, it's like composing a piece of classical music where, you know, on their own, these instruments are fantastic. They're great to listen to, but you kind of look at them and you're like, how are these two going to go together? And then you put them together and you're like, that is just absolutely beautiful. And you have the person in the middle conducting to make everything sound great. So yeah, those two interactions, I mean, the interactions that they have, the bickering back and forth, two of the iconic voices, I'd say, here in the static episodes here, kind of interacting, getting a chance to kind of bounce off of each other and be these reluctant allies turned bitter rivals by the end of it is kind of fun. Yeah, and rounding out our heroes here, at least our heroic voices, we have the returning Rosalind Taylor Jordan coming back and doing her Shebang / Shanice role. And she, of course, gets lots of interaction with Phil Lamar as Static and Virgil. And of course, Jason Marsden that you mentioned before as Richie and Gear. I think our trio works really well. I think it's fun again to hear Rosalind Taylor Jordan, who we talked about in her very first appearance about how immensely talented it was, how talented she was and how, balancing those two different styles of who the character was, the calm, quiet, reserved Shanice versus the confident, exciting, happy Shebang. But then in this episode, the whole point of the story is that she doesn't have to hide anymore. So she gets to be this outgoing, loud, rambunctious, happy child who's excited about being a superhero. And you kind of get Phil Lamar's Static in the sort of the killjoy role, who's the annoyed older brother that's kind of tired of this young whippersnapper running around and being, you know, kind of hogging some of the glory and being excited about being a superhero, not taking it as seriously as he and Gear do. So, and then you got Gear in the middle who just kind of goes along with Static, and we get various interactions between these three and our huge cast of villains. But yeah, I think once again, I think Miss Taylor Jordan is kind of the main focal point. We do get a little bit, maybe a little bit more than last week. We get Gear and Static, so we get more of Mr. Lamar and Mr. Marsden's performances. But I think again, the main focal point, you come down to this performance by Miss Taylor Jordan. And I think if you have somebody in that role that isn't able to pull off that, just, you know, that pure exuberance for being a hero with powers, and especially now that she doesn't have to be as covert about it, I think she really communicates that through her performance, does a fantastic job, and really bounces off everybody that she interacts with very well, and creates it makes it very believable that this person might be a little bit annoying based on their excitement. So yeah, I think everybody once again, unsurprisingly, does a really, really solid job. I thought her performance again, just kind of capping things off for this theme month that we had, more jobs for her in the industry, please, because she's just immensely talented, and not an easy task when you put her up against, you know, such stalwarts as Mr. Lamar and Mr. Marsden. But I think she holds her own pretty well and shows that she's got quite the acting chops on her own.
Yeah, I think the standout scene for me with our heroes is when it's right after they first meet back up and they're in the diner or the fast food place or whatever, and she says, well, you know, you guys told me whenever I was back in town that I could join the team, and Virgil goes, I did?
And it goes down. Well, you did promise we could work together if I came back to town.
I did?
Oh, yeah.
I did?
You did. So why are you back in town?
The authorities captured all the goons who were after me for my DNA. Finally, my parents and I could leave the witness protection program and move back to Dakota.
Way to go.
And the best part is, I don't have to pretend I'm shy anymore. I can be myself.
There's a scary thought.
This'll be so great. I have so many decorating ideas for the gas station. And we should color coordinate our costumes. Oh, and I even thought of a team name. SGS. Shebang Gear Static.
I did?
And then, like, Richie and, you know, Miss Taylor Jordan and as Shanice and Jason Marsden as Richie have, like, a full conversation. And then, like, every 5 seconds, Phil Lamar as Virgil just keeps chiming in and going, I did? And I think it's just picture perfect. The delivery on that is perfect. Obviously not a secret what a great comedic actor Mr. Lamar is, as well as his superheroic chops. But I really loved that sequence.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedy in between there. I will say, maybe for the character, it does feel a little bit out of. I almost thought that they were going to do a swerve that Static and Gear were being mind controlled, because they're kind of mean towards Shanice in that middle portion where they try and get her to buzz off once their annoyance level has reached its peak. But I think looking at it and looking at the fact that they are, it's more annoyed than they are angry. It does kind of communicate well in the way that both Mr. Lamar and Mr. Marsden kind of deliver those lines. A solid effort all the way around. I think you know, our leads get extra points as far as I'm concerned, just for some of what was asked for them. And then you look at the full cast and everybody involved in the various different interactions that you get. You know, I think it's hard not to look at this and give this a high score. So I ended up giving it a really strong 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I went with the exact same score there, and an 8 out of 10 for voice acting. I think everybody's strong. And like I said, I think that it's really propped up by the odd couple of Miss Brooks as Madeline Spaulding and Gary Anthony Sergi as Ebon. Just their back and forth was just had me rolling the whole episode.
There you go. All right, Liam. Well, that will begin to wrap us up. So we might as well total everything up here. Totaling up my score for this week, we end up with, I think unfortunately, maybe the lowest score of the month thus far, certainly the lowest of the last 3 weeks. And that ends up being a 26 out of 40 for this episode. What about you?
Yeah, and I'm just a couple points higher at a 28 out of 40. But as we sometimes say, the point score doesn't always reflect how much we did or didn't enjoy an episode. I still think this one's a lot of fun. And then obviously, as talked about, it's the end of the Shebang trilogy, and also brings back a villain from a previous episode and kind of ties that knot off. So I think this is another easy double thumbs up for rewatchability, even if it's not maybe as individually strong in some of our categories as some of the other episodes we talked about this month.
No, I agree with you too. I think sometimes the sum of an episode's parts doesn't directly reflect in enjoy, you know, how much we enjoyed it, or, you know, whether or not it's integral to the entire show. Mm-hmm. So as far as Static is concerned, again, you wrap up several different plots from the show, and bring some characters to resolution here. And I don't know that our characters, our main characters, as far as Static and Gear are concerned, are different than when they started at the beginning of the episode. But Shanice definitely is, as now she feels welcomed again. She's excited about being a part of the team. And we do see that the characters are off to work together. So, yeah, I'd say this gets a recommendation from me as far as Static episodes are concerned. And it's a great supervillain versus superhero team up. You know, those are always fun in the context of comic book shows. So I give it a recommendation from me.
Absolutely.
All right, William, well, that will begin to wrap us up for this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning into this celebration of Mr. Len Yulee month that we've done here on the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, there's a couple of different ways for you to do so. And we thank you that those of you that do support us monthly with your monetary contributions, thank you so much. There are links in the show notes if you want to join those supporters to become a monthly supporter of the podcast. You can also check out the store. You can pick up some merchandise to support the podcast that way if you'd like to. You can also follow us on social media at DCAU Review, both on the platform formerly known as Twitter, now known as X, and on Instagram. We're still calling it Twitter. And also on, I think our Threads account is still exists. Do people, I've seen like random people using Threads and like posting it to Instagram. I guess there's some integration there, so but that's the only time I ever hear Threads mentioned anymore. Somehow it seems as of recording of this episode, Twitter has survived the storm. It's like it's like Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster or a horror movie villain. It just won't die. It just keeps coming back. But follow us on social media in those ways. You can also please subscribe to us on whatever platform that you listen to, whether it's via the Watched or the Pod Tower YouTube channel, youtube.com/thePodTower, or on your favorite podcast app. Subscribe to us there. If it lets you leave a review, leave a 5-star review, and send us a screenshot. If you leave us a little blurb on Apple Podcasts, send us a screenshot of that in our DMs, and we'll have a little thank you gift to send you if you do. And Liam, we mentioned at the top, but our full interview with Mr. Len Yulee will be dropping in just about a week or so. So a week and a couple days. So look out for that on the podcast feed. We also have our bonus episode dropping this weekend. Issue 7 of Batman the Adventures Continue, Season 3 finally dropped. We're excited to talk about that. So check that out on the podcast feed. And then speaking of the podcast feed, with this being the final Saturday of the month, that means that we are turning the page and looking at a new show for the month of September.
That is right, Cal. And we will be returning to some of our, what end up being some of, I think, our most favorite and most popular episodes among our listeners. That being when we go back and we review Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. And we are kicking that off right where we left it. We left you several months ago on a cliffhanger with our review of Question Authority. We're finally picking that thread up with its sequel episode, Flashpoint. Not that one. Next week, when we return to the world or to the time period in the same world of Justice League Unlimited.
Excited about that. It will be a fun one to talk about as we continue through the Cadmus story arc. But until then, I'm Cal.
And I'm Liam.
And we'll talk to you on that next episode of the DCAU Review.
Bye-bye.